with a ringing of that school bell, we're returning to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We hope you'll get your Bibles and follow along with us as we study these lessons. I would invite you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 12, and we're going to begin there in a few moments, talking about the time the children of the land of Israel was rent asunder between King Jeroboam and King Rehoboam. Now, before we do, there's a little introduction here that I want to read from Elam's Notes. This is Elam's Notes for a Sunday School lesson out of April the 6th, 1924. And he says, in reading the Bible several or many times through, we pass over the same things just as that many times, and then do not learn all it teaches. So in studying the same lessons from the Bible, the same scriptures, facts and characters are used, and the comments to be true must be the same. In this way, we learn more and more of the Bible. No one claims to know all the Bible from having read it through once or twice. This system of lessons takes us through the Bible every few years, hence that often we study practically the same lessons and thus learn more of the Bible than in any other way. And so we're going to be doing this. There had been some previous lessons earlier, several years ago, on some of these same texts, but we're going to be reviewing them now. Let me begin by talking about the book of Kings. Before I do that, I need to remind you the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and I especially want to invite you to our Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 o'clock. We call this the Community Heart-to-Heart Bible Study. And that's because we're studying lessons that are found in the publication House to House, Heart to Heart, that we lovingly send to every mailbox and every post office box between Biola and McMinnville. And that publication has been well received. And if you'd like to study the lessons, the Bible lessons found therein with us, then come to the Rock Cliff Meeting House on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock and be part of that study. But now let's return to this lesson, the Book of Kings. Several lessons of this quarter are in the Book of Kings. The Book of Kings was originally one, not a 1 Kings and a 2 Kings, but one book, the Book of Kings, the present division having been made in the Septuagint translation many years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It is nowhere stated in the Bible who wrote these books. Jewish tradition attributes them to Jeremiah. And there's a lengthy discussion about this and other works, and one of the things you might want to discuss or read about this is in Smith's Bible Dictionary. The history given in these books, it stands through about 400 years. They give the history of the undivided kingdom through Solomon's reign, 1 Kings 1, chapters 1 through 11, and then the history of the two kingdoms of Judah and Israel, from 1 Kings 12 to 2 Kings 17, to the downfall of Israel, and the history of the kingdom of Judah to the Babylonian captivity, in 2 Kings chapters 18 through 24. The author of these books cites other books of history and prophecy, like the Book of the Acts of Solomon in 1 Kings 11:41, the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah in 1 Kings 14:29, the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel in 1 Kings 14:19. These histories and prophecies were written by different ones, namely Nathan the prophet, Gad the seer, 1 Chronicles 29:29. Ahijah the Shilohite, Iddo the seer, 2 Chronicles 9:29. And Shemaiah the prophet, 2 Chronicles 12 and verse 15. And 2 Chronicles 13:22, we have the commentary of the prophet Iddo. And that's mentioned in there. And 2 Chronicles 24:27 mentions the commentary of the book of Kings. In 2 Chronicles 20:34, we refer to the history of Jehu, the son of Hanani, which is inserted in the book of the kings of Israel. We know that Isaiah wrote of Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 29:22, and of Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 32:32, and Isaiah, chapters 36 through 38. And Isaiah also wrote of Ahaz, Isaiah 1, verses 1 and verse 7. And so you can read these references and see that there were many sources of the history, but someone was inspired by God to pull all of this together and to put it down in the exact form that we would need it in the old Hebrew book of Kings that we now call 1 Kings and 2 Kings. Now, we're studying a lesson about the division of the kingdom of Israel. And it marks the beginning of the kingdom of Israel, which continues 254 years. Some put a time at a few years less. The division of the kingdom, as we learned, was produced by Solomon's sins and the selfishness, vanity, and unwisdom of Rehoboam. The books of Kings and Chronicles give parallel histories of these kingdoms until the early captivity of Israel. And these lessons, with their connections, furnish a good opportunity for studying the history of these kingdoms. The lesson presents us with two prominent persons, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam, the prominent for his weakness. Jeroboam, prominent for his wickedness and his rebellion. Let me read to you for 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was yet in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of King Solomon. And Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, and they sent and called him, that Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 6. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, What counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But Rehoboam, he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and took counsel with the young men that were grown up with him that stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye, that we may return answer to this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke that thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou say to this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou speak unto them, My little fingers thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. I would certainly not want to hear an answer like that if I was in northern Israel. It was because of the foolishness of Rehoboam that they lost this kingdom. Now, Rehoboam was Solomon's son. His mother was Naamah the Ammonitess, 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 12. And we read that his mother doubtless had an evil influence on him. He is the only recorded son of Solomon. And Adam Clark says that he was a poor and unprincipled fool. The wisest man, Solomon, had a fool for a son. Solomon may have realized this. Solomon wrote, "A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him." Proverbs 17 and verse 25. In Proverbs 10 and verse 1 he wrote, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." In Proverbs 13 and verse 1, Solomon wrote, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scoffer heareth not rebuke." In Proverbs 15 and verse 20, we read, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." That is strange that we read about Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 3, we read that he had 1,000 wives, but only one recorded son, and he a fool. Solomon left his son a magnificent kingdom and great opportunities. Solomon reigned over all the kings of the river, from the river Euphrates into the land of the Philistines, into the border of Egypt, 2 Chronicles 9 and verse 26. And so we see and have read in earlier classes a description of Solomon's wealth and his resources. And there was no nation so wealthy and whose commerce extended so far. Many young men, like Rehoboam, with splendid opportunities, have come to naught. Evil companions corrupt good morals, the good book tells us. Boys and young men may follow the advice of foolish and wicked associates, or act upon the counsel of wise and older men. The people were oppressed by the grievous services. They were restless under the heavy yoke placed upon them, Solomon. They were greatly taxed and forced to labor, just as God had said that they would be through Samuel, back in 1 Samuel 8, verses 10 through 20. But they did not listen, and now they're bearing the consequences of their own folly and asking for a king to reign over them. When Solomon died, his son Rehoboam came to the throne, and the people met with Rehoboam at Shechem to make him a king, but not without first making the request, "Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which thou hast put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee." 1 Kings 12, verses 1 through 4. Rehoboam should have readily granted this request, but he begged 3 days for consideration, saying, "Depart yet 3 days, and then come again to me." And this the people did in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 5. Rehoboam first took counsel of the old men that had stood before Solomon his father, saying, "What counsel will you give me to return answer to this people?" And this was a wise course, if he'd only acted upon the counsel given by the old wise men. Had he followed his father's example and sought counsel of God and prayed for wisdom, it would have been better still and safer for him. But he turned from him from whom alone could have received perfect wisdom and guidance. The old man gave him safe and wise counsel. It is said, old men for counsel. They advised him to lift the burdens of the people and be lenient to the people and generous, saying to him, "If thou wilt be a servant of this people this day and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, they'll serve thee forever." The king should serve the people and seek their greatest good. But this course did not suit the young king, and so he turned away from the safe advice of the old men and the counsel of the young men that grew up with him and stood before him.